I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're going to follow up now on a story about a woman we met earlier this year while she was preparing to leave a refugee camp in eastern Nepal. Sita Adhikari was all set to resettle in Rochester, New York. She was on the first leg of the journey, waiting for her flight at a transition center run by the International Organization for Migration in Kathmandu. Then President Trump's executive order came down, putting a four-month hold on refugee resettlement. Here's more from Danielle Price in Kathmandu.
When I catch up with Sita Adhikari, she's been learning about life in the U.S., including basics like diapers, which weren't available in her refugee camp.
First day, we had taught about diaper class, diaper, how to use diaper for children, for others.
Sita Adhikari is reading from the notes she took during a crash course on living in the U.S. before her scheduled flight on January 31st. On one wall behind her is a vista of the Himalayan mountains. On another, a poster with scenes from the U.S., including the Statue of Liberty.
And rights and duties, our rights and duties.
What did they tell you about rights and duties?
Right to speech, right to work, all sorts of rights and our responsibilities.
She already looks more like an American than when I last saw her in the refugee camp. She's traded her flowy floral outfits for a plaid shirt and cut her long hair into a shiny bob. But while Adhikari prepares to fly, her family in Rochester goes into panic mode, wondering if she'll be let into the U.S.
Yeah. I emailed everyone. I emailed IOM, I emailed UNHCR, I emailed the White House, I even called ACLU.
That's Adhikari's brother, Yogesh Adhikari, over Skype from Rochester, where he moved in 2008 and is now a U.S. citizen. Adhikari says he never got any answers on whether his sister could still come. So he prepared a room in his house for her and her two kids. And hoped.
Those are really heartbreaking questions to not have the answer to.
Jen Smyers is the advocacy director for Church World Service, which works with the State Department to place refugees in U.S. cities. Smyers says most people, even refugees themselves, don't realize how much vetting and verifying is actually going on before refugees are given clearance to travel to the U.S.
You get name and biographical checks. And those are only valid for 15 months. You get medical tests, and those are only valid, depending on your country, for 3 to 6 months. You get a security screening that's valid for 15 months. You get a DHS interview that's only valid for 24 months. You get assurances that are valid for 12 months. Fingerprints are only valid for 15 months.
Smyers says these clearances are only all valid at the same time for about 2 months. So a 120-day ban would mean most refugees on the verge of resettling would have to start the whole process over again. The State Department allowed refugees who are not from the 7 Muslim-majority banned countries to fly through February 2nd. Smyers says 875 refugees made it through during that window. Sita Adhikari was one of them.
Hello.
Hi, Sita.
Hi.
Welcome to the U.S.
Yes, thank you.
Sita Adhikari's brother, Yogesh Adhikari, helped her call me from the Rochester airport after she landed. He was still a little shocked that she had arrived.
We didn't know she was coming. We had no contact with her. She had no phone. And we just hoped she was here today, when I came here.
The resettlement agency that welcomed Adhikari and her kids to Rochester, Catholic Family Center, thought her group would be the last for a while. But the very next day, a federal judge in Seattle ruled in favor of a nationwide halt on the travel ban. The U.S. Court of Appeals has so far stuck to that decision, and Catholic Family Center is now scheduling arrivals again through February 17th. Refugee agencies overseas are scrambling to get flights rebooked before travel documents expire or a new decision comes out. For The World, Danielle Price, Kathmandu, Nepal.